That sounds like my cue. Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. Has anyone noticed the blazing ball of light in the sky? Yes. It's warmer and sunnier than it has been in a good long while. And that is reason for thanks and praise this morning. There are a few announcements before we begin. Patricia.
Good morning. I'm Patricia Van Rienen, and Denise Tyler has a pond and a fishing rod, as I do. Now, I'm not much of a fisherwoman, but perhaps some of you are, and for those who aren't, that's fine too, because really this is about donating food. St. James has been collecting food and other items for our sister church, the Church of the Epiphany, for their food cupboard. And we've been doing this for a number of years, and we do it during Lent. So to make this more interesting, what we have is a pond and fishing rods, and if you go to the Great Hall, you can try your luck at fishing to see whether or not you can fish for some food. So what we're suggesting is that you buy food items that are generally less than $5. Think of meals. So a can of tuna is great, but also if you buy some canned vegetables and tuna helper, then you've got a meal. We would greatly appreciate anything that you can donate. So have fun fishing or just bring your foods into the Great Hall. Thank you.
Thank you. A few more announcements. It is time to turn our attention to Lent. And so this coming Tuesday, we are having pancakes together to celebrate the end of the season of Epiphany and to prepare for Lent. So please plan to be here from 5 to 7 for delicious pancakes and sausages. On Ash Wednesday, we will have two services, one at 10 a.m., and another one at 5 p.m. That's a change from normal. So there's no 7 o'clock service, but there is a service at 5. And then during the day here at St. James, we will be hosting the Children of the Deanery. Now, I don't have a full count, but I know that at least 14 children from 4 different parishes and volunteers from 5 different parishes in the deanery are coming together to observe Ash Wednesday, to learn and to pray together. There's still lots of time to register, so little ones, if you want to miss a day of school, start bugging your parents now and speak to me after the service. And because of that big day during the day on Ash Wednesday, there will be no Camino this week. It felt like a little too much for one day. With that, let us take a moment to still ourselves and prepare for worship.
Morning, everyone. As this is the final Sunday of the Epiphany season, Michael brought to my attention a very interesting chant that we'll start the service with and then lead into the opening hymn. The opening hymn, Sing of God Made Manifest, encapsulates many of the gospel stories that we've heard through the season of Epiphany. But if you can put yourself back about 500 or 600 years, there is an interesting chant in the prayer book called the Announcement of Easter and Movable Feasts. And this chant usually occurs on Epiphany Sunday. We've decided to do it here on Transfiguration. But what it essentially does is give the dates of all of the movable feasts, Easter, Ash Wednesday, Pentecost, through to the first Sunday of Advent. And when you first look at it, you think this is kind of a novel or maybe in some ways a humorous idea. But if you put yourself back in medieval Renaissance times, pre-technology, pre-printing press, this was the way the church would communicate to the congregation the feasts that are upcoming for the church year. So Paul's going to sing the chant for you, and the chant also uses the same tone as the great prayer from the Easter Vigil, the Exultet. So it's working on a lot of different levels here, And resist the temptation to put the dates in your phone right now. We'll get those to you later. But if you can just put yourself back to a pre-technology society and experience, and of course you may have heard this in English or in Latin even before that, but here are the feasts, and then we'll go into our opening hymn. Please stand.
Oh, dear people, that as we have rejoiced at the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, so by leave of God's mercy, we announce to you also the joy of his resurrection, who is our Savior. On the 18th day of February will fall Ash Wednesday, and the beginning of the fast of the most sacred Lenten season. On the 5th day of April, you will celebrate with joy Easter Day, the Paschal Feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 14th day of May will be the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 24th day of May, the Feast of Pentecost. On the 4th day of June, the Feast Day of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. On the 29th day of November, the first Sunday of the Advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom is honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, on the Holy Mount you revealed to chosen witnesses your well-beloved Son, wonderfully transfigured. Mercifully deliver us from the darkness of this world, and change us into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of the word.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
With you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, Suddenly, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you.
Please be seated. I had a nice little sermon prepared for this morning about Peter and how perhaps the transfiguration of Jesus was a gift from God, especially for him. But as I lay in bed last night, I wondered whether perhaps we might find some peace this morning in remembering that Jesus' story continues on after the transfiguration. That after Jesus shines with radiant glory, and the disciples are terrified by the voice of God, Jesus reaches out to them with a comforting hand and quiet words. And that as they walk back down the mountain, he speaks to them of resurrection. Back into the very real life that is waiting for them in the valley, where Jesus is immediately called on to heal a little boy. Now, if we were to read these verses this morning, you would hear that Jesus isn't especially kind to the disciples. They have tried to heal the child, and they failed. And so the child's father falls on his knees and begs Jesus, sharing that his son's epilepsy has led him to fall into fires and water. It's not the most comforting story in the gospel, because you know that this family has been suffering. And yet, in the end, Jesus does heal the child. He responds to the father's worry and fear, and so we remember that God is present both on the mountaintop and in the ordinary day-to-day life in the valley in a very real way. God is present even when things don't feel like a mountaintop, even when things seem quite dark. I don't know what healing will look like for the people of Tumbler Ridge in BC. We don't have a lot of mass shootings in Canada, thanks be to God. But I think it's safe to say that an incident like this one, where so many of those involved were so young, is particularly hard to accept. So it may be that the community is not yet ready to talk about healing. And I think we can all understand that. Things may seem too dark and the hurt too fresh. They are suffering. And it is clear that someone in their community has been suffering for a long time. and that there is a parent who could not seem to find healing for her in this world. And I don't know what healing looks like there, but I hold on to the hope and the promise that God is present in all of it. I am confident that they do not suffer alone. We have seen an outpouring of support and love from across the country, so that is a start. And perhaps that is where they will begin to see Christ in their midst, as they have begun to gather and grieve together. There have been calls for mercy and understanding instead of judgment and harsh words. And so it seems like Christ is there as well. Along with all of the news this week, I heard that our Lenten journey is bracketed by two mountaintop experiences. We hear the first today, the story of the Transfiguration, the mountaintop story that we want, the Jesus that we want, divinity on display, obviously holy, removing all room for doubt and skipping over all the hard stuff, going straight to glory. When we come to the end of our Lenten journey on Good Friday, we will hear of the second mountaintop, the one on which the cross will stand. The mountaintop experience we do not look for, it is not the one we want, but it is the one we need. And it is the Jesus we need. The one who will do the heavy lifting. Because it is there, on that mountain, that Jesus takes on all the suffering, all the pain and the hurt in this world, and breathes out new life. That's where the healing of the world really begins. Because it is there on that mountaintop where God comes to understand what it is to lose a child. It is there on that mountaintop that God suffers with those who cannot find peace in this world. And we remember that Christ's light shines brightest not on a beautiful, sun-filled hill, but in the dark valleys of life. And this may all still feel like cold comfort to the people of Tumbler Ridge this morning. And we can certainly understand that. And we pray that in time, the love that was poured out on that cross will be the healing we all need. Because even at the grave, we make our song. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Let us stand and confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God. Please assume a posture of prayer.
Please join in the response. Lord of glory, we behold the mystery of your love. Lord, it is good for us to come into your presence. Silence our babbling mouths that your church may hear your word. Inspire us with the vision of your beloved Son. Lord of glory,
we behold the mystery of your love.
Lord, on the mountaintop, Moses waited for your commandments. Raise up prophetic voices to give sound counsel to world leaders. Direct this and every nation in the path of peace with justice. Lord of glory,
we behold the mystery of your love.
Lord, your Son took Peter, James, and John to witness the revelation of your love. Fill our hearts with rejoicing and humble thanksgiving. With friends and strangers, unite us in the household of your kingdom. Lord of glory,
we behold the mystery of your love.
Lord, you bring light to places in darkness and hope to all who despair. Be with all those whose journey is hard and unremitting. From the heights of the mountain, refresh and renew our flagging spirits. We think especially of Curtis, Terry, Cheryl, Lynn, Mary, Arnold and Marilyn, Charles and family, Dave, Aaron, and baby Mercy Grace, Barry and Pauline, Donnie, and the community of Tumbler Ridge. Lord of glory, Lord, hope springs eternal with you. Receive with your transforming love those who have died. May the brightness radiating from your mystery be our final refuge. Lord of glory,
dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you with all our heart and mind, by what we have done, by what we have not done. We have not loved you with all our heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please stand. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, receive all that we offer you this day, and bring us to that radiant glory which we see in the transfigured face of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O gracious God, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give knowledge of salvation in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now with angels and archangels, and the whole company of heaven, we lift our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.
We break the bread of life, and that life is the light of the world.
God, hear us, light in the midst of us, bring us light to life.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy God, we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. May we who are partakers of his table reflect his life in word and deed, that all the world may know his power to change and save. We ask this in his name. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And may the God of infinite goodness scatter the darkness of sin and brighten your hearts with holiness. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Now, instead of a formal dismissal today, we are coming to the end of our Epiphany season and preparing to enter the season of Lent. Tradition has it that we stop saying the word hallelujah for Lent. And so each of you, as you came in this day, were given a song sheet that had the hallelujah of the next hymn that we're given. We're going to sing that hymn, but during it, after the first verse, I'd invite the congregation to come forward, to fold your papers, and to place them in the box that I will put out. Those pieces of paper, those hallelujahs, will be kept in that box around the high altar for the entire season of Lent, reminding us that we're in a time where we let go some of the things that we want and begin to do those things that we need to do. Perhaps, and probably because it's the plan, throughout the season of Lent, the kids will decorate those papers and will receive them back on Easter Sunday, freshly refigured and transfigured as we sing hallelujah on that most glorious day. But for now, let us bury our hallelujahs and enter into this important season.
Forevermore. Hallelujah. is God the Word who came to name. Alleluia.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.